Alright, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Come on! This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Truck Fitters on FM 1960. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Warner with Nick Sciarra.
Disrespect in the right-hander right out of the bullpen. That's the way it goes.
He's not even here to defend himself, and he's already getting disrespected.
Rookie orientation. It's a shot at Barry, and he's on the road. And it's a shot at Nick for rookie hazing.
No, I'm okay with that, but Barry Warner's loving this right now. You know he's listening, and he's like, yes.
Joel, anytime there's my name mentioned, Joel, it's advertising. Joel Laminack is on the road, Joel. I'll take it. I am Hall of Fame, by the way. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah. He'll let you know. He'll remind you.
How was he this morning?
He was great. He was great. We talked a lot about the ESPYs. Did you watch any of that?
I did. And we can get into that.
Are you an ESPYs dude to begin with?
It's entertaining. Here's the thing. For me, the ESPYs are better left on ESPN. To try and fit it in 2 hours of network programming or 3 hours of network programming, there's so many awards that go by. You don't know who won. You have to literally get on social media to try and figure it out. And the skits were too long. Some of the speeches, I was waiting for the band to warm up the music just to tell someone to shut the hell up.
Totally agree. And you know what it felt like? You know how when I went to the rodeo to watch Blink-182, but a lot of their popular songs were like from the early 2000s. So to kind of keep everybody's attention, they would like play a hit song, then play something like two or three of their new songs that's not necessarily recognizable,
then a hit song,
yeah, just to keep people into it. And I feel like that's what they do at the ESPYs. There's like a whole bunch of awards nobody cares about.
They tease you a little bit. They want to save the big one, the big dogs for the end, you know, male athlete, female athlete, team of the year, whatever that. But there was an NFL player of the year that no one saw. You know, there was a college player of the year that everyone here would have liked to have seen, Deshaun Watson.
Absolutely.
Everybody's talking about the Durant thing. If you don't think that was scripted, you're on something, okay?
His reaction? Really?
Don't tell me for a half second that someone in the production side of ESPN didn't say to KD, this is coming, just so you know, if you really want to go along with it, give us the I'm not happy kind of, I'm giving you the straight face.
Wow, I wouldn't have, actually it makes sense now that you mention it, but he just seems so genuinely upset. Like,
he played it off well. But I'm just telling you, my humble opinion is he knew about it. That's the way they do those things. Now, the Westbrook part of it, I don't know if they brought him into it because his reaction was fantastic because he tried to keep a straight face, but you notice he had a finger over his mouth like, I want to, but I'm not going to.
Yeah. I think it was great. Peyton Manning, to me, did a really good job.
I agree.
I didn't think there was too much of him. I like the Super Bowl, the skit they did with him hosting the Super Bowl party. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah. The one that I didn't like, simply because the Saturday Night Live skit kind of capitalized as good as you can on him doing other things. And then then you go from that to him in the old folks' home, and it's kind of like, well, they kind of already been there, done that. But when they did that the first time, he was beating kids up in a pickup football game. Now he's just beating up old people doing the same skit.
Yeah. But it was actually a lot better. I usually do not watch the ESPYs that much, but this particular year I felt like I had to keep up with it just a little bit. I'm actually happy for Demetrius Johnson, for your UFC and MMA fans, the UFC flyweight champion, for getting, Fighter of the Year over Conor McGregor. You would think for sure Conor would get it, but he didn't. I thought that was pretty cool. I was kind of upset with the Kevin Durant's award, the speech. I just felt like it was a little dry, but other than that, I thought it was pretty cool.
Now, I'm a little disappointed that you didn't show up for your first remote ever in tight track pants and a halfway unbuttoned dress shirt with the Russell Westbrook look. Or, if you want to take it a step further, with the satiny League of Their Own baseball jacket with a t-shirt and the tight sweatpants. Because that's supposedly the new look now. Because that's what I saw last night. That and OBJ with the shorts / tuxedo jacket / I don't know what starter set going on. I don't know what there is. You throw fashion out the window for these things, but everyone was all over Russ because of what he was wearing, because those green sweatpants with the white stripe, I thought he was traded to the Celtics.
Yeah, I thought the Odell shorts thing, that was pretty funny too. But whoever was rolling up with that, what's her name, Dove Campbell, she's strong. Like, she's great. Like, she's good looking.
I don't know which one's Dove Campbell.
Or the Dove or Deep
Oh, you
Campbell?
Like her too, Tosh?
Odell.
Oh, of course you do. Well, he stole your hairdo. but you know, overall, I mean, everybody's trying to make a fashion statement at the ESPYs.
I think it's Dove Campbell. Man, she was strong. But anyway, but yeah, I mean, I thought it was all right. I there was a lot of awards that I did not care about, like I said, but there was a lot of stuff that I thought was interesting too. And I like the shots that Peyton Manning was taking at the Knicks, at the Gatorade.
Outstanding way of handling it too, because I was wondering, as an ex-athlete who sees athletes a lot, how are you going to be able to bust their balls and then get away with it being their friends when you see them the next time?
Yeah.
But the fact that he set the table by saying, these are the ones that I said no to, but I'll tell you what they wanted me to say,
yeah.
was fantastic, because now you got to get out of jail free card right off the top.
Yeah, and I like the way that he was really consistent about it, even though like some of the reaction that he got was like, oh, that was cold, you know, like yeah. that. He didn't yeah. care. Like he didn't leave his foot off the gas. Like, he just kept pushing for it. And I like that. I mean, Peyton Manning, that was probably the perfect guy to kind of MC the ESPYs right now. So
he took the shot at John Cena, which I thought was good.
Yeah.
So whoever wrote the opening monologue with him and got him, they set him up and put him in a position to succeed, which was great. So we're going to have the whole show from Truck Fitters today. Want to make sure that Nick has gotten out of the cage for the first time. He's not wearing track pants, but he is here in the live in the flesh. If you leave from Beaumont now, you may have enough time to get to him. But Nick is here with me for the entire show.
I just hope I don't fall asleep, because I ate like 27 of these Big City Wings.
That was good. And by the way, shout out to Sam and Big City Wings. I mean, you want to talk about some great variety and some outstanding taste on these wings. He did not disappoint. There's still some left. So if you want to come out here off of 1960, we are out here at Truck Fitters. And while you're here, being able to take selfies with Nick, you can also dabble in some of the Big City Wings. They are fantastic.
There's a long line, though.
There's Odell Beckham Jr.'s sister is here. She will take selfies as well. She will not give you the secrets to her hair, but she will allow you to take a picture with just the hair if you'd like. And by the way, Jose
Partida.
Yeah, the anthem. Jose Partida.
That's a new
He's
nickname.
Back, yep. The anthem is back at the station, and you can reach him at Twitter, at ParJ94, weak unless you're a golfer, so we'll figure the new name for Jose quickly. At the producer Nick, who's not now the producer Nick. He's the co-host Nick. But for today, we'll go along with at the producer Nick. And at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We're on Twitter. You can also hit us up on the phone line, 713-780 ESPN. You can call, you can text. Nick, you get control of the texts as well
today.
That's
right. I didn't even check the text
line.
Yeah,
so when the 409
don't even bring
needs
that
to
up.
Get through the screening process of Barry
yesterday.
Normally so that they can get to Nick.
And you know Barry wanted to read that text too.
Yeah, so Nick offended everyone in the 409.
No, I didn't.
We associated with Beaumont, but the people of Galveston quickly called to say, leave us out of this. So I think you're safe in G-Town. But I do know that people in Beaumont came at you hard in the final hour yesterday, and now you can either come kill them in person at Truck Fitters off of 1960, and you can get some wings so you feel even better about yourself when you leave, and you get some great things for your truck, because everything here is fantastic. You can get hitches, you can get everything for your truck, grill, Yetis, everything. So check us out. We'll be here till 4 o'clock, so stop by and see us, if not, reach us either on the Twitter, which is the addresses I gave you, because, Jose, you're going to have to participate. You can't sit there and be Silent Bob all day today. Nick and I are here, and you can also reach us 713-780-ESPN text call. And by the way, Nick, things you learn in the trade when you get experienced, if you look to your right and you imagine that that gentleman at the counter had a Bluetooth in his ear.
That's Clarence?
And he said, hey, guys, what's up? How you doing?
That's Clarence?
You would meet Clarence in person, but you cannot meet Clarence in person until you know who he looks like, but you'll do that and a whole lot more in the break, and we hope we get a whole lot more from you as we continue to roll on right here on ESPN 97.5. Maybe see the Coliseum. I'll be Da Vinci if you be my Mona Lisa and I smile. So pack your bags real good, baby, because you'll be gone for a while. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Truck Fitters on FM 1960. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. And on ESPN 97.5.com. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, the usual suspects back on ESPN 97.5, coming to you live from Truck Fitters on 1960. Come out and see us. I think the target line is just starting to form, as we know that callers are already on the hotline, and it's going to be the express feed coming right
Joel's
at
going
Nick.
Straight to the hotline.
Yeah, I went to the bullpen to bring in the heat. I just didn't realize the fastballs may be coming from outside, as Nick ticked off a lot of people in the 409.
Oh God!
So we're gonna get to that in a second, but we're kicking it here at Truck Fitters, having a fantastic day with a remote. Odell Beckham Jr.'s falsified little sister is here with hair to take pictures. Payne Stewart's nephew is here in his golf clothes to also engineer. We've got a lot of things going on. So if you want to join us, please stop out and see us. Sam has elected to hang out with us for a while after giving us great wings from Big City Wings. So if you want to check that out as well, grab some food. There's still some that are here. Lots of prizes to be had.
Speaking of Big City Wings, July 29th, 2017 is National Chicken Wing Day. Big City Wings will have 65-cent wings all day. Come get the best wings in the city and celebrate with them at all four Houston area locations. Home of the 2 for Tuesday, double your wings all day. So
that sounds like a good deal for you.
Yeah.
Which flavor did you like the best, by the way?
I like the spicy barbecue.
Spicy barbecue all world.
I'm a barbecue kind of dude, but the spicy barbecue, I really like that. I'm not huge on things being incredibly spicy, but yeah.
Unless you're in a slump, then you want it really spicy. We've talked about that before.
We have, but we're not going to get into that today.
Oh, we can.
No, it's because a Thursday.
Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. You might want to reconsider that, because depending on how these calls and texts start going,
yeah,
you may want to switch gears and get away as far away from that other stuff as you
can.
We'll
keep it conditional. In the event that I get a whole bunch of heat from the 409, then we'll change subjects and we'll go that direction.
So now you're running everything?
No, I'm just saying I don't want to take heat for 3 hours.
Here, I'm out. I'm gonna go down. I'm gonna take a. I'm just saying.
I mean, we got some. We got.
You
Clarence.
Got to meet Clarence.
Clarence,
who was big time in us. He heard us, but he didn't want to acknowledge the talent that's here, which is the whole reason why he walked through the doors. But since Clarence not only knows us, Clarence now knows everybody. He had to catch up with people working here that he knows that was far more important of a conversation than free publicity for Clarence.
He was in the middle of a conversation. I respect that. Clarence, Joel doesn't get that dynamic.
Clarence, I still call BS on the dog sleeping in the car, by the way. That was you shutting
it down.
Yeah,
what was that?
Because we didn't take your call right away. That was you cutting some Z's.
A German Shepherd, he's saying.
She has a groin. Oh, she's growing. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Now, I'm not making any comparisons, Clarence, but I'm going to bet that when you sleep like a bear, too. So I'm just saying, you were on hold for a while. Nick punched it through. And all
I
we,
left it running for like 60
and,
seconds.
And we just kept periodically checking back, and all we heard was,
well, this German Shepherd sounds a lot like a human snoring, I'll tell you that.
Yeah,
right,
that's what I was going to say. We were all talking about that, and then suddenly you had this hypothetical story that the dog fell asleep that you just got. I'm not buying it.
I didn't know that was the excuse, honestly. The whole time I thought it was something else, like there was something in the car that was making the noise or something like that. I didn't know.
Well, he claims there was.
I bet you it's not crazier than my dog. My dog is insane. But
I don't have any dogs. I wouldn't know. So Kevin has been waiting on hold. And before we get to Kevin, the most important thing, because we don't have a screen that says the topic, all we can tell you is he's from Beaumont, and that is the area code 409, which is definitely a possibility. We're going
to
bring Kevin in to find out. Kev, what's up?
Okay, first of all, let me correct you. I'm not from Beaumont. I am from Port Arthur, which
Thank
is
God.
In the 409. The
okay,
home
well, that's
of the
that's on
UK.
Our interns. We'll blame them later.
But I give props to Nick, because I'll agree with him. Beaumont sucks. And I'll
yes.
tell you, Nick, anytime you come to the 409, you shout me out. I'll be there. I got your back, bro. I got
Thank
the same
you. I
type
appreciate
of,
that, Kevin.
A smaller background that AJ has in jiu-jitsu, so I'm not worried.
Oh, all right. All right. I like it.
Good job, Kev. So we've got built-in security for Nick. We thought we were going to have to bring outside security in if he ever gets down.
I'm not
down
even worried about it. Now, Clarence is cool with me. Clarence, if he's here the whole 3 hours, I'm not even worried. Come down to Truck Fitters. Clarence got my back.
You see, Clarence has got a busy schedule for the rest
Clarence
of the day.
Like,
You're expecting him to stay for 3 hours?
Why not?
Did you see the look he
see?
Did?
Oh, yeah, now he gets thumbs up.
Nick's getting his whole crew together now. Before now, we're going to have gang fights. All right, so, Kev, we appreciate the call. And Kev's got your back. So the next time you go do your first appearance and signing session down in Beaumont, you got security built in. But let's not forget the fact that you may need it.
Yeah.
You were pretty quick.
I probably would feel more comfortable if Sean and Clarence were still here. By the way, Sean is not a – he's a huge Drake fan.
You heard that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he loves Drake. That's probably what he's listening to right now on the way back to Gal Media.
I have heard that during breaks on the TV side, Sean has auto-tune because he's working on his first album. Because he loves Drake so much, he wants to learn the idiosyncrasies of auto-tune.
I tell you what, I know he likes all kinds of music. That's a first for me. I didn't know he hated Drake that much. Like, he went on a tangent there for like two segments.
You just got to listen, man. If you listen to them,
he
know.
Does.
Sean, and he does not, not that people expect that he would, but Sean does not hold back.
Well, Kevin Durant didn't really like him. Remember, did you ever see that post-game interview courtside? And Kevin Durant was, I think it was either TNT or an ESPN TV state. It was either ESPN, it was a TNT game or an ESPN game.
Okay.
And Drake just runs into him, like, hits his back, like, in the middle of the interview. And Kevin Durant just mean mugs him for, like, 30 seconds.
I did not see that.
You got to check that video out. And then the guy asked him about Drake. He's like, man, I don't care about no Drake Day. Apparently it was like Drake Day at the stadium. So
I will say this. Sean is dead on with Drake's fandemonium because he's fair weather as it gets. He's Raptors. He's University of Kentucky.
Yeah.
He's Cavs. You know, anybody that will let him in the locker room, he's all over.
Yeah, for sure.
But I will say this. People didn't realize until he started doing Saturday Night Live and then hosting shows, he's actually got some talent.
Yeah, he's a charismatic dude,
yes,
for sure.
Yes,
he's got personality. He's a vocal dude. I don't think he's incredibly vocal, but like he's vocal enough to kind of carry out a conversation. I think I think that's a part of the reason why he's so successful. It's not necessarily him being like the greatest lyricist or hip hop artist ever. I think it had a lot to do with his personality.
Well, at least it's his voice and not something that's provided by a computer.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a different story. All right, so we continue to roll on as we are here at Truck Fitters on 1960, and we'd love to have you join the show. 713-780-ESPN. You can call. You can text. How's the text line looking so far, Chief? Are you looking
about
at
it? About to log on right now.
All right,
now.
So Nick's going to check the text. Jose's back, and he'll be taking the calls and putting you through, along with our interns who are telling people they're from someplace that they're not from. But we'll just roll with that because by the end of the day, they'll misspell names too. That's why Clarence is here, according to our interns, not Clarence.
Intern Trey's fault. So.
Because of the way they spell. And Jose, you will speak during the show, yes?
Yes. There, I did it.
That was weak, Jose. That was weak. And nothing weaker than your Twitter handle. What's this ParJ94? We're going to work on that too. And we're going to have like Little Mouse if you don't speak up more during this show. So it's Nick and I from Truck Fitters on 1960.
I've got some things I can toss to Jose that I'm sure he can expand on for sure.
Do you think he will? Is it hot kicks?
That or soccer. I'm sure he can talk some soccer.
Well, then I can take a segment off and you guys can bring me back in if you guys want to get into all that.
Go get some wings, Jose. Joel.
I already got some. I got the good stuff. Nick and I hit the hot cue.
I went with the spicy barbecue.
Q. Sorry. Very, very good stuff. All right, so we're going to continue to roll on from here. We're going to cover a lot of stuff and a lot of ground. If there's something that's on your mind that you want to talk about, you feel free to chime into the show. 713-780-ESPN. That's our text line. That's for calls to get into the show. We're going to talk about Carmelo Anthony and the fact that now it may take three separate teams besides the Rockets to try and get things done, which complicates things. The big fish on the hook that's causing problems, that's the fact that Ryan Anderson is not wanted by many, and you got to find a team to take him if it's going to be a trade. So that could be a problem. Do you want Carmelo Anthony on your team, and is he enough to catch the Warriors? That's something we can talk about as well. We'll have the Big Three with JB as well, where we'll delve a little deeper into that, and it has nothing to do with the Golden State Warriors. We'll have a whole lot during the show, so please.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Truck Fitters on FM 1960. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I love that the Final Five won the most Olympic medals of any U.S. women's gymnastics team ever. gymnastics team was so dominant that Kevin Durant told me he wants to play for them next year. And I got to tell you, I don't think you'd start for that team, Kevin. Yeah. Russell Westbrook, what do you think?
Okay, so there it was. There was the coup de grace of the opening monologue from Peyton Manning that everybody's talking about.
Right.
The thing is, I had said to you, I felt like that's just the shot at Durant was so big, and you knew it was going to be impactful, that they had to tip him off.
Yeah, and I didn't know that. I mean, when you pointed it out, I'm like, really?
Now, that was a guess, but then during the break, I started to scan articles with the Kevin Durant ESPYs, and Chris Haynes of ESPN came out and said, for those interested, I'm told Kevin Durant was in on the Peyton Manning gymnastics team roast at the ESPYs, and KD played his part well. I think he played it fantastically well. I think the other thing is, I don't think Russell Westbrook was told. I don't think he knows, and I think he just tried to kind of act nonchalant about it, but I think inside he was cackling more than a little bit.
See, now I'm more surprised at how well he, like, if it's true, how well he acted, because there would be no surprise to me that they tipped him off, that they let him know that, hey, look, this is the direction we're going, this is in the script, just a heads up so you're not thrown off. Right. I totally see that. But the fact that he responded the way he responded, which is probably kind of easy considering he's like a low-key guy. Yeah. You saw the way he accepted the award. It was kind of quick, to the point, dry. You know what I mean?
The other thing that was funny was, I forget who said it, but he brought his mom, Durant did.
Yeah.
And someone tweeted out and said something like, can Kevin Durant's mom find a hobby or something else to do so she isn't riding her son's coattails everywhere?
I was thinking the same thing, but he loves his mom so much, obviously, but like, she's everywhere. She's getting a lot of camera time, especially after
Think about during the finals when First Take brought her in for the whole show.
Yeah.
And she was taking shots at everybody that had taken shots at KD.
Yeah.
Or her.
At least you can see opportunity to do that. Most moms don't do it. I'm sure there's a lot of moms out there who are like, don't be saying that about my son. But she gets an opportunity to go on ESPN and respond. That's,
if we want action, she should just walk up and bitch slap somebody. Then I would like that.
Yeah,
I
mean, like the dude at the Metro.
Then she can go to the next award show with him. I'll allow it.
My favorite thing was when they pan to Durant and he looks so upset, she's next to him laughing. She's dying next to him.
She was laughing.
Is she really?
Yeah.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, she absolutely was. Yeah, it was great.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, did you notice that Clarence registered for a Bluetooth?
No, I didn't.
he was actually registering twice to win a Bluetooth during the break, and we're not even giving one away. But he feels like he needs one.
Bluetooth is so obsolete now. It's like not even.
Don't tell Clarence that. He's right here. All right, in the meantime, Jay is wanting to chime in on this Durant thing. Jay, what's up?
What's up, fellas? First of all, crazy thing is I didn't even see the ESPYs. So my question was this going to be the question before y'all brought up the ESPYs? But when y'all brought up just now about Durant's mama going on ESPN, I watched that episode where they were all like telling Stephen A. Smith to apologize, and she was upset with him. So I was like, man, come on. My mother died 5 years ago from breast cancer. There's no bigger mama's boy than me. And my mama would understand, if I pick a team, that when I look at the Western Conference, the landscape, I know that no matter where I go or who comes to OKC, I'm not beating Golden State. And because of how whack society is and how lame it is and how social media gears everything and how if you don't have a ring, you're not validated, period. From a business aspect, I get why he did it. But say, bro, I went to high school from 95 to 99. And there's still some jerseys. If I see today, I'm going to want to slap them. Because I'm not a you-can't-beat-them-join-them type of guy. And no matter what anybody says, that's exactly what Durant did. And it was making me so mad. All the comparisons we heard about him and LeBron. LeBron didn't go to Boston. And Miami wasn't an Eastern Conference powerhouse. Bosh couldn't get past the first round. Wade couldn't get past Boston. Vaughn couldn't get past Boston. So they went to Miami. But Durant went to probably the best Western Conference team we're ever going to see. Maybe even better than Showtime. And for his mama to make it seem like we should let him make it for that, it's like this. When Durant has a son and his son finds a team he can't beat, the moment he decides, I'm not going to join this team, I'm going to beat him, he's more of a man than his father.
See, Jay, here's the thing, and I was curious on whether you were going to say that Miami was a super team or not, because they did import both Bosh and LeBron and Ray Allen, if you really want to get technical, and Mike Miller and a couple other guys, and they really became a super team with imports. The one thing that I tip my cap to Bob Myers and the Golden State Warriors for is, yes, they got Kevin Durant, but even before Kevin Durant, they were a power in the West. And they drafted the three of their big four. Before they got Durant, it was the big three. They had drafted Thompson, Curry, and Green. And they got Green in the second round. So to say that they were a super team that was built with imports, that's a totally different story. I like, and I tip my cap to the fact that Golden State did a lot of their stuff in-house. The super teams, the Bostons, the Miamis, and now what we're seeing with what people are referring to the Golden State, two of the three, I think, were completely imports. I think Golden State did it the right way.
Yeah, it was a completely different approach because of all the draft picks. It's the super teams that you see now is done with players that are already in their prime. They've already been established. A lot of those players weren't established in Golden State. They had to kind of develop into the all-stars that they are now. So, yeah, I'm with you on that. I think Golden State, if it wasn't for what they did in the draft, what, 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago, and all the right decisions that they made at the right time, they wouldn't be a super team like they are right now.
Took risks, because the fact of the matter was, Steph Curry coming out, they questioned his size and his handles. And then he had foot problems in two of the first 3 years. That's why they didn't max him out. That's why he had to get this contract for a full max, because he wasn't making max, because they didn't know if he could stay healthy. Klay Thompson was a guy that everybody said, well, yeah, he can shoot in college, but can he do everything that you need him to do on the NBA level? Yes, he's got the pedigree with Michael Thompson being his dad, but there were questions. And again, Draymond Green slid all the way down for a reason. They thought he was a tweener. They didn't think he could play big enough. He wasn't showing versatility on defense. They took risks along the way that worked out perfectly for them. That's why you tip your cap to them. Miami didn't take risks. They just had a great salary cap guy, and once you got LeBron to go there, and they had already conspiracized, the three of them did, that they were going to get together, everybody wanted to jump on that bandwagon because they knew they could steamroll the rest of the league.
That's what a lot of these teams, that's how they were able to get a lot of the stars. It was new salary cap rules. You mentioned the Warriors, you know, the salary cap and how they were able to sign Kevin Durant because the NBA increased their salary cap. So, yeah, I mean, that's what it's going to take with some of these superstars getting these crazy contracts. Harden is now making, what, $40, $50 million a year. So, I mean, that's what it's going to take. It's all about the salary cap and the numbers. 713-780-3776. How do you think Melo will fit? Are the reports of D'Antoni not liking Melo true?
We've touched on this before, and we can talk about it throughout the show, and you guys can tell me how you think he's going to fit, and I do have some thoughts on it, too, on the Big Three with JB at 3 o'clock. But before that, I would just say this. Everybody's worried about, can you compete with the Warriors? I think in-house, you have to take care of everything first. And the big thing is, D'Antoni did an article with Sports Illustrated a month ago, not while he was still in New York, not when he just left. I don't care what he said to whatever. Right. A month ago, before these conversations started heating up. And he said, with his wife sitting in the room, they came to me and said, I don't think that, I'm paraphrasing, obviously, but they came to me and said, they're not sure this is going to work out. Someone may have to go. And he said, I quit. His wife said, I don't like that term. You resigned. No, he looked at the writer and said, no, I quit. So if you're a head coach and you're walking away, especially from the passionate profession that you have done your whole life, there has to be a pretty legitimate reason. Now, and Barry has said this to me, well, but it's a water under the bridge. He's good with it now. No, when you get a five-year deal and you're only 1 year in and you want to make sure you get those other 4 years, if management comes to you and says, hey, we're going to bring back this player that you couldn't stand before, can you make it work? Yeah, I can make it work. Yeah. Why? Because I want the paycheck. But at the end of the day, there's going to be a come to Jesus at some point where the coach either wins out or Carmelo wins out, and they're going to have to iron that out, because everybody's worried about enough ball to go around and James and CP3. This could be the biggest deal of all, because we're talking about rumors of Carmelo always being a cancer, rumors of him being all about me, me, me. Now, oh, all of a sudden, I just want to win. I can even play third fiddle. That remains to be seen, but if you're trying to play third fiddle and play for a guy that you have gotten into it with before, who's the first guy you're going to point a finger at if it ain't going your way?
Yeah, it's like getting back with your ex. It's just not going to work.
What I don't like is the whole narrative that everyone in the league loves him. Just because you love him doesn't mean that you want to work with him. I love my friends. I don't want to work with them.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, Jose, it's a great point. Everybody's saying everybody. No, the guys that have the nuts to come up and speak about it because they got along with him when they were in Denver with him are speaking about it. Nene is the one guy that I've heard from. You know, I've heard, and he went out on Instagram. There might be one or two others. But are we hearing from the whole squad at Denver? Are we hearing from the coach and the management? Because I'll tell you this, George Karl was adamant that they should have traded him 2 years before he said he wanted to be traded because he said he had already seen the tendencies and knew that this guy was all about himself and that it wasn't going to work. So you can go both sides of the equation, but you don't think that the guys that like him are going to speak out now because they'll get the attention. The guys that don't like him, they're like, look, man, as long as I don't have to play with him again, I'm not going to be the guy. But if you want to get the group together on the other side of the coin that says this guy wasn't the greatest teammate, I'm sure you could line some people up that way too.
Yeah. Like you mentioned, it's one thing to just ask him in the offseason, hey, are you willing to play with Carmelo Anthony? And then when he gets here during the offseason and training starts, and they, you know, a couple preseason games in, a couple regular season games in, where are you at that point? Where are you 10 or 15 games into the regular season? How much do you like each other at that point?
And think about this, too. When you're thinking about it, you're Mike D'Antoni. You're already trying to restructure your offense to try to accommodate two guys that have to that are ball dominant. They have to have the ball in their hands.
Yep.
So you're already trying to do that. But in the back of your mind, you're also not trying to throw in another wrench that you may have to implement sooner rather than later that says, and then how do I make sure that Carmelo Anthony gets enough touches to be happy?
And the minutes. How do you control the minutes with those three?
Well, those three are going to start. And I think from James Harden, we all know, got worn out at the end of the season. So the rest is going to do him good. You can sit him down more now because of Paul and Eric Gordon, assuming you keep Eric Gordon. Because now you've got three guys that can rotate that all can shoot the three well because the three is so important to their offense.
Yeah.
That you're going to be able to sit James a little bit more.
Yeah.
But Carmelo, is he a four? Is he a three? If you lose Ryan Anderson, now you either got to get some help up front or Carmelo's going to play a lot of power forward as well as small forward. That's fun when you're on the offensive end and you're playing the tempo you want to play. If you get to a team in the Eastern Conference that starts getting you into a half-court game and a grind, put Carmelo on the box and you don't think the eyes are going to light up on big post players in the East going, I'm going to put him in my back pocket.
Yeah,
and I'm going to go to work with some strength and I'm going to get him in foul trouble or I'm going to eat him alive.
Yeah, he's not going to be able to handle people in the post, that's for sure.
So we'll continue to wrap our head around this. And like I said, I'll talk to you more about the inside the locker room and in their own house before we talk about how the move could possibly affect the rest of the NBA if Carmelo does come to Houston in the Big Three with JB at 3 o'clock. But other than that, we have plenty to get to. We've got a full list of things. But if you have things on your mind you want to talk about besides Nick and Beaumont, give us a call, 713-780-ESPN. You can text us. You can call us. And, of course, you can reach us on Twitter, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Gator Belton, Patty Milton, Monte Carlos, and El Dorado.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Truck Fitters on FM 1960. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, the usual suspects from Truck Fitters on 1960. If you need something for your truck or for you inside of your truck, this is the place to be. They have everything. They have grill guards. They have everything for your truck. They've got hitches. They've got, if you want to fancy up your hitches, they've got your favorite university get your hitch on. They've got everything for your truck, and they've got Yeti. They've got Yeti individual thermoses and drink cups. They've
Which
got the
works.
Cooler. We're giving away a cooler,
awesome.
By the way. So you need to come in here and register to win. Our promo team is here with lots of freebies as well to give away. We still have a lot of big city wings. If you're hungry and you haven't gotten anything for lunch yet and you're in the area, stop on by. If you want a selfie with Clarence, he's going to stick around because he is one of the usual suspects, and he's available. And, of course, we have the right-hander in from the bullpen. We have Nick Sciarra filling in for Barry
yep.
Laminack, which makes everything sweeter.
Yep, yep. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN if you want to participate. Carmelo did not have the caliber players like Harden or Paul in Denver or New York. He had to be the man. Here he has two guys that can help him be more of a team player. That came from the 936.
Well, 936, here's what I'll say to that, okay? And Carlos, we're going to get to you in a minute because you want to talk Melo too. Denver was not a bad team with Carmelo Anthony. Denver was a playoff team. Denver had J.R. Smith. They had Nene in his prime. They had the Manimal. They had a lot of different guys that they could fit into their lineup in which teams looked at them as an athletic, high-scoring team. Melo even played with Iverson there. Not that Iverson wasn't way on the downside of his career by then. But they were no slouch. They weren't going to win it all, but they were going to compete. So you can't say that he didn't have anybody, because you look at who he had, and those people are still playing in the league, which meant if they could play on the downside or 5, 6, 7, in 05, 06, and now some 10 years later, if they're still in the league, they probably could have played back then like they play now and probably better. So I'm not going to say that he didn't have anybody, but he wanted out. So when he forced their hand, they took the best deal they could possibly get. And when he got to New York, they even in New York, they had some good years. They had some success, but they couldn't get over the hump. And then Phil Jackson just messed the whole thing up. So
yeah, and you know, people just players just tend to get scared when they have when there's a player on another team's roster that takes 50, 60 shots. They just tend to and they're you know, like an all-star caliber player. They're scared to play with them because of all the shots they know they're going to take. Like Paul Pierce used to always talk about that with Allen Iverson and all the shots he used to take when he was with Philadelphia. It kind of steers some all-stars and some stars away when you're a player like Carmelo Anthony. I know that aggravates people, but it's kind of true.
Well, here's where it's either you talk the talk and then you walk the walk happens or it doesn't. Everybody, when they're boys and they're getting together, kicking it in Vegas or in the offseason, can say, I want to play with you, man. We should get together and we should hoop. If there's a way we can work this out, you should either come to my spot or I should go to yours. That's all fine and dandy. But when it actually comes down to putting up or shutting up, that means I am going to be okay not being the man anymore. I am going to be okay not shooting it 30 times a game. I am going to put the team in front of my stats. Every one of these three guys has had success, but when you look at it, Melo's been to a Western Conference Finals. They got annihilated by the Lakers when he was with the Nuggets. Hasn't been there since. All right, Harden's gotten the furthest. He's gotten to a Finals. He was recently with the Western Conference Finals with the Rockets. Okay, and then Paul has never been out of the second round. You look at the three guys, yes, they've experienced some winning, but all of it has been based on them being who they are known to be. In order to be a winning team, you have to sacrifice your stats. James just got to the point where he was a point guard for 1 year and his stats went through the roof. Statistically, the best year of his career. You're asking for a guy with, you know, an ego and a guy that likes this
later
attention.
In his career. Because remember, Harden, he's learned this, and he's what? He's only 28,
he's only
29.
He's less than that. He's only like 25, 26. So here's the thing. He's going to have to be the guy that takes the biggest sacrifice. Barry mentioned it earlier. For this to work, Harden's going to be the key. He's the catalyst, whether it works or whether it fails, because he's going to have to say, I will take less shots. I will have the ball in my hands less. I will have to work harder for rebounds because I need to get Melo shots. CP3 needs the ball in his hands. Chris Paul's stats are going to suffer as well, but he's going to still be a distributor. So everybody's going to have to sacrifice in order. That's why Golden State is so good, because they all knew going in and then lived up to the billing. Everybody thought, well, it might take half a season. They were able to pull it off quickly. Why? Because everybody said it's not about stats. It's about the hardware at the end of the year, and they did what was necessary to win. That's what's going to be the key for the Rockets. Can you do what's necessary to win and sacrifice your individual stats?
Yeah, you're right. And Harden's gotten a taste of what it feels like to kind of sacrifice his stats, limit the touches, limit the number of shot attempts that he has to take. Carmelo Anthony has not experienced that yet. He was the man in Denver. When he went to New York, he was the man there. He still is the man there. Think about it.
Go back even further. He was the man in high school. He was at Syracuse. He did actually win a title almost all by himself at Syracuse. And ever since he's been in the NBA, you're right. He has been the guy wherever he has played, and he likes it that way. So it's one thing to say, nah, I'm good. I can switch.
But when he's officially on the court and he sees that he's not getting, he feels that he's not getting the same
That's
amount
right.
of touches, and he's not getting the stats and the box score that he's been getting his entire career.
It's easier for a James Harden to say, okay, I made the switch a year ago, but I can switch again because it's only been a year.
Yeah.
For Carmelo, make the switch after a double-digit career in the NBA of doing it only one way. Now suddenly say, I'm just going to be a spot-up shooter. I'm just going to be the third option. It's going to be tough to do.
And I think the good thing about this is that because of his age, he's not going to be able to – you're going to be able to tell right away if this is going to work. He's got like one or two seasons for us to really tell if this is going to work just because of their age. Paul's already 32. I'm not saying he's outside his prime, but he's already 32. You've got maybe a two or three-year window for this to really, really work.
Carlos, you have been holding patiently. We appreciate it. You want to talk Melo. What's up?
Yeah. So I'll try to be quick. You guys mentioned a lot of things. I think, honestly, all of these, you know, all-star players, they all have egos, huge egos that are hard to manage. I mean, if you kind of think about it, like, how did Boston with all those aging stars, like, work together? You got to make it work. But as far as, like, all-stars that, you know, had problems with previous management or coaches, you know, somehow LeBron was able to go back to Cleveland after everything happened. And, you know, somehow Kobe and Phil were able to make it work out again. I'm not saying that, you know, Carmelo and the rest of this roster is on the level of those players, but if you really want to make it work, you can make it work. Obviously, it could go, you know, sideways. But
Carlos, you said LeBron went back to Cleveland. He went back to Cleveland and got the coach fired and got Tyronn Lue to take over, his guy. So making it work is one thing, but making it work his way is another. A lot of people said David Griffin wasn't needed in Cleveland anymore because LeBron was the general manager. Because what LeBron wants, he gets. So he got his coach fired. The Lakers, arguably, in your other example, Shaq and Kobe should have won 3, 4, 5 titles in a row. But there was so much infighting in that locker room. Even when they won, they said if you walk by the locker room doors, it sounded like a street fight because they hated each other.
Yeah. Unfortunately, in a lot of cases, it's the front office that want to make things work. And then the players, once they're on the court, it's really up to them if they really, really want to make it work, because they ultimately have to be on the court playing with each other. And, yeah, most front offices of basketball teams will have that optimistic approach. Yeah, we'll make it work. But it's a wholly totally different ballgame when you have to deal with the on and off court drama.
Carlos, you got anything else?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it can go bad. But, I mean, you got to give it a shot. Who knows? As far as, like, the rotation goes, I don't know any big man that's really, like, scary out there other than AD and Boogie Cousins. I don't know how many people would be posting up Carmelo, so I don't think that'd be a big issue. The same people that'd be posting up Brian Anderson wasn't that big of an issue in the regular season.
Draymond Green's going to put him on his hip pocket. Draymond Green will go down in the post and get him. LaMarcus Aldridge will go down and put him on the post. Pau Gasol, even though he's in the twilight of his career, you think he's going to shy away if Carmelo's guarding him from going inside? I mean, the Rockets' biggest problem in a game that they should have won, or two games they should have won in Game 5 and Game 6, were beaten by a San Antonio team without Kawhi Leonard that decided, we're going to ride our post players and see if you can stop them. And without Nene, they had no chance.
And thanks for the call, Carlos. And yeah, they're not going to need to put someone of the caliber of like Anthony Davis or a Boogie Cousins on them. It's not necessary. Why would you waste that on them? But from a defensive standpoint, why would you waste putting Anthony Davis on Carmelo Anthony? There's a million other players you can put on.
No, that's what I'm going to say. Just because Carmelo's guarding them doesn't mean they have to guard him.
Right.
And again, why would you tire a guy out having him run out on the perimeter to chase Carmelo
exactly,
when you know that he is going to need all the energy he can to just maximize how many touches he's going to get with Carmelo on him in the paint?
Yeah, I wouldn't even worry about it. If I was the opposing team or the defending team and I had to worry about defending Carmelo, you could put your third or fourth best defender on him.
And I get Carlos's point, but you look around the league, there's still plenty of guys that can go on the low block and get you 2 points. And you look at Nurkic and Jokic, the two guys from Denver and Portland, both those big fellas are going to take him down on the post, and they can go down there. You know, there are guys on every team that can still utilize the low block. It's a different type of NBA, but it is not extinct to say that guys can go on the block and get you 2 points. And if you prove you can't stop a guy, coaches are smart enough to run that play till the well runs dry. We're going to keep running that till you prove you can stop it. That's as simple as it gets. So if you guys want to talk about Carmelo, we definitely are all about that. We can talk about the scenarios. Now it's supposedly 4 teams involved in this thing trying to make it work. But even if they get Carmelo, are they good enough? Do they have enough firepower? And do you consider the fact that you still have to get a bench and you have to get players in a rotation so that you don't have to go only 7 deep like D'Antoni did last year? We talked about that yesterday with Mario Elie.